Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday morning, the 6th of July, and I'm looking for my most irritating song ever, or maybe my most irritating song of this week. Here it is. I'm bringing sexy back. That is the song Sexy Back by Justin Timberlake, my most irritating song of the moment. We are going to talk about the most annoying songs of all time with John Pollock, who is a history instructor at the Madison Area Technical College and our pop culture expert. We are doing this program because a number of lists are out. A British website recently chose its top 10 most irritating songs, and Rolling Stone also names its 20 most annoying songs ever, and we want to know what's on the list as far as you're concerned. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And John Pollock joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
We did this. We're just talking. We did this about a year ago or so. The Rolling Stone came out with a list back then, and We Built This City on Rock and Roll was named the worst song ever in that list.
You know, I'm thinking it must have been something that appeals to an older demographic than Rolling Stone, because it might have been like VH1 or something, or VH1 Classic.
That's right, that's right.
Because, yeah, on the Rolling Stone list, there was exactly one song on there from before the 1990s. It was at number 20. Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go by Wham. And the rest of these are all, I mean, there are things from the, mostly from this decade, and then there's a few from the 90s. And I thought, wow, this is really a kind of a young list. So, I mean, there's songs that for the most part I'm familiar with, but I just don't listen to them. They're not so ubiquitous that I pick them up, even though I don't listen to the radio stations around here that sort of cater to the, you know, pop music market. So it's always kind of funny to look at these. I mean, when I responded back to your producer who had emailed me to be on the show, I said, well, I'd be happy to talk about the most annoying songs ever. And I put it in quotes because, you know, it's ever since, you know, 1985 at the very earliest, and
right.
leaving out decades of pop music before that.
You know, it's kind of interesting to compare these lists to the one done by the British website. There are a number of songs on there that I hadn't even heard of, and I guess that's because they were big in England, but not big here.
Yeah, I've always kind of wondered what accounts for that. When I was in high school, actually, and listening to more pop music, I'd sometimes go to the record store and pick up British music magazines, and it was always kind of fun to see like where things synced up and where they didn't, where there were acts that were somehow just the British music magazines constantly talked about, and they got no airplay at all in the U.S. And likewise, bands that everyone in the U.S. was sick of, and in Britain, people said, "Oh, this is really kind of a great band from the States," etc. Even the U.S. and Canada. I mean, you know, I was up in Canada last summer, and there were songs that were just on the radio all the time that I just had no idea what they were.
Yeah, number two on the British website's list of the most annoying songs ever was this one. Bam, bam. That is a little annoying. That's Axel F. by Crazy Frog.
Well, that one, yeah, and I hope my kids aren't listening at this point because they actually really love that song. Yeah, that one is I think it's kind of designed to be annoying because if I remember correctly, Crazy Frog was originally a British producer who set out to make ringtones for cell phones. Which would be, I mean, that's probably next year. We'll talk about the most annoying ringtones ever.
Yes.
But that's kind of the idea of a ringtone, right? I mean, you want it to be distinctive and you want to be able to hear it in the middle of a conversation or while you're driving or doing something else. And so it has to kind of cut through that. And yeah, it's just it's a cover of a song from the movie Beverly Hills Cop from the mid-80s. It was a theme song of Axel Foley, the Eddie Murphy character. And then they sort of sped it up and added that sort of frog-sounding voice, sort of speeded up vocals there. And again, I'm not exactly sure how a ringtone becomes like something you play on the radio, but that's what happened with the song. There's a whole CD of those out there. Yeah, it's kind of annoying.
And we will check our weather forecast and then take calls from you. What is the most annoying song as far as you're concerned? The most irritating song ever? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. According to the British website, the online poll, the third most irritating song ever is this one by Hanson. I thought that's kind of cute. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with John Pollock, our pop culture expert, history instructor at the Madison Area Technical College, talking about the most annoying songs ever, according to a couple of different lists that are in the news right now. Rolling Stones named its 20 most annoying songs ever, as did a British market research firm, an online poll. And we're wondering what your most annoying song ever is at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. John, now what do you think of M-Bop by the by Hanson?
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's one I remember at least. It's from I think about the early '90s. It's it was overplayed a lot. I think that's why a lot of the songs are on the list. Whether it's on the UK one or on the US one, songs that were on the radio all the time that showed up in movies that you didn't seem to be able to escape if you wanted to. That kind of makes them annoying after a while. What's funny about Hanson is I was having a conversation about that. I've had several people who I've talked to who are pretty knowledgeable about music, and Hanson's kind of rehabilitated its image. I mean, there was sort of packaged kind of boy band. I remember them. It was right around when I moved to Madison. They played Taste of Madison on the Capitol Square.
Did
down
they really?
Here. Yeah, mm-hmm. They were. And it was one of those really like packaged tours. They were on for like 20 minutes and they had handlers got them on the bus and hustled them off someplace else. But they've kind of moved beyond that. They've shown some more depth in their songwriting lately and more people have gotten into them. But yeah, they were definitely that kind of, you know, teenager for a young teenage audience and preteen audience, very packaged, very polished kind of sound, you know, the kind of band where you thought, well, this is nice studio stuff, but I wonder if they can actually sing or if it's all kind of doctored up behind the scenes. So yeah, Hanson. And then Hanson also sort of kicked off. They were part of that big boy band trend with New Kids on the Block. Other bands from the late 80s, early 90s there, a big cycle of those.
Let's go take Gay in Viroqua is our first caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi there. Here are my votes, first to third. Toby Keith, and then Toby Keith.
Now, is that because you don't like Toby Keith's politics by any chance,
Gay? No, of course not. But at this time of year, I mean, I first heard him and didn't know who he was right after 9/11. We were sitting at the next year's 4th of July celebration somewhere out in the little town, and they'd had the flyover, and they had the paratrooper something jumping out of something onto something, and a rodeo, and then God bless the son of America. And it was just, I mean, everybody stood up like a zombies and, you know, started crying and stuff. And I just thought, oh, boy, this is too powerful. You know, this is too much.
Yeah, I know. I remember he had a song about putting a boot in the butt of the terrorists or something.
Yeah. I mean, you know, right away, it was the worst kind of idea. We needed to be brought together, but not like that, not by a...
Yeah, and I suppose you're hearing a lot of those right around this, the 4th of July and all that. Thank you, Gay, for your nomination. I don't think Toby made it to either of these lists, though.
No, I mean, it's a common thing that pops up on these lists is that they're kind of genre-restricted, for lack of a better word. There's no country on here at all. Country music is just off altogether. I mean, the UK one, in the UK, my impression is that country music is kind of a subculture, sort of. There are people who are passionate about it. Toby Keith probably sells some records over there. But it's not, you know, country radio is not as dominant there as it is in many parts of the U.S. And the Rolling Stone list also. Rolling Stone doesn't typically give a lot of coverage to country bands or musicians. And again, the Rolling Stone list also is country free. As far as Toby Keith goes, Toby Keith's politics, I was, and maybe some of the listeners will remember this song. I was rummaging around in my office the other day, and I came across a 45 for a song by the Charlie Daniels Band called In America that came out like in 1980. And it's like the pre-Toby Keith. It was just amazing. I listened to it. Yeah. And I was, a friend of mine was in the office, and we were talking about it. And I said, yeah, it's just, it's basically like Ronald Reagan's 1980 campaign set to music. It was pretty amazing stuff. And it was sort of, I mean, it was kind of a moderate hit for him. It wasn't nearly as big as Toby Keith was, of course. But yeah, there have been songs like that before. And, you know, if you're not a big fan of them, at least you can sort of take consolation that 25 years from now, you'll listen to it and it'll be like a musical time capsule. It'll be like in 3 minutes, you'll be back at this exact historical moment. And, you know, if someone else listening to you who wasn't there for it, you can say, all right, here's what this guy's singing about, and you can go on forever.
Here's one song. There are a couple here. One song that's on both the Rolling Stone list and the British list. So we're united on our choice that this is one of the most annoying songs ever.
When I dance, they call me Magarena, and the boys, they say que soy buena. They all want me, they can't have me, so they all come and dance beside me.
Now, that's the Macarena, but that doesn't sound like the Macarena version that I'm used to.
Yeah, it's a different mix or something like that. Well, it's funny. I mean, I was looking at the list. So you've got Macarena right below it on the Rolling Stone list is Who Let the Dogs Out. A few spots below that is Lou Bega, Mambo Number 5. And one of the things I think is interesting about these songs is that, well, first of all, they represent the entrance of at least Macarena and Mambo Number 5, Latino bands in the list. You know, it's no secret that Spanish language radio is taking off across America, and it's more audible. If you're in a city of any size, there's going to be, you know, multiple Spanish language stations. And so songs that are, you know, that are coming out of the Dominican Republic, that are coming out of Mexico, that are coming out of elsewhere in the Spanish-speaking Caribbean, are going to get onto radio where they couldn't before. And inevitably, as in the case of every national music, some of them are going to be kind of annoying. What I think is also interesting about those songs, about the three songs I talked about, is that they're now in heavy rotation at weddings. You go to weddings or other kind of, you know, bar mitzvahs or other parties where you've got a DJ there. They play them because everyone knows them. I mean, you know, one of these days, I always say this is one of the books I'm never going to get around to writing, but I'd really want to look at wedding music. Having been in a band that played weddings before, it's always interesting to see that there's like a whole bunch of songs that people expect to hear at weddings. And they're always kind of stumped if the band, you know, doesn't really play in that style or if they don't know them or something like that. And I just always wonder, why are there certain songs we want to listen to at weddings? Why is it that if the Macarena pretty much drives everybody nuts, is it hard to find a wedding that's not going to have it, especially if that wedding has a DJ spinning pop tunes?
No, I bet you that this one's going to be a wedding song at some point. It is the number one most annoying song according to the UK list, and it's also the number seven worst song or most annoying song on the Rolling Stone list. And I played it a little earlier in the program, but we haven't had a chance to talk about it. This is You're Beautiful, which was number one in the UK for a long time in 2005.
You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful.
So why would people think that that's irritating? Just because they heard it too much?
Yeah, it got a lot of airplay. It's got that kind of repetitive chorus to it. James Blunt's voice is a little bit, there are other singers who have voices kind of like that, and it's sort of a personal thing that kind of annoys me. He's got kind of a nasal tone, and there's just something about it. I mean, for some people, it sounds very sincere and very realistic, and for me, it sounds like he's got a cold. I can't get past that. It sounds like you want to give the guy some antihistamine or something and clear that up. But yeah, you're right. So if that song came out in 2005, then probably a lot of couples where it was their song when they first started seeing each other, yeah, it's probably going to be at a whole lot of weddings over the next few years.
Yeah, number four on the Rolling Stone list and number nine on the UK list.
You're here. There's nothing I fear.
Was that the theme from the Titanic?
Yeah. Yep.
So Celine gets on both lists too. Why do you think that's so annoying?
I think it's just massive airplay. I mean, it's from one of the most successful films of all time, and the song was a really huge hit that put Celine Dion into this just huge pantheon of super ultra stardom. And it's also, it's got that really, I mean, it's just like a really lush and arranged kind of song, which, you know, hearing it again and again, it probably gets kind of tiresome. I think that sort of, and you know, she's got that really big voice that, again, for some people, it's like, oh, she's, you know, she's a great singer and very well trained. And for other people, it just gets kind of grating.
It says email from Henry in Plymouth, the United Kingdom. No, I don't know if that's what exactly that means, but... maybe he's in the United Kingdom and there's a place called Plymouth there.
There is.
Okay. I was thinking Plymouth, Wisconsin.
Plymouth, Wisconsin. No.
But all right. So we have someone listening online in the United Kingdom who sent an email saying, I think that the current most annoying song is What If I'm Right by Sandy Tom or Thom, T-H-O-M, or possibly I Wish I Was a punk rocker by the same artist. I don't feel as though I need to justify this decision.
Wow. Well, shoot. It'd be great if he could have attached a little sample, because I don't think those songs are getting aired. I think that's another case of a song that's on the, you know, that's on the UK charts and obsessively so, and is not in the US. Just for the title from that one, the second one, that I Want to Be a Punk Rocker, that coming out in 2007, that's kind of cringe-inducing right there. I can't imagine what that's got to sound like.
Well, thank you, Henry, for the email and for listening along. Talk a little bit before our news break about maybe how, demographics might play a role into what we think is an irritating song or not. We asked around Wisconsin Public Radio and got some various nominations for worst songs or most annoying songs. And our summer intern, Christina Taylor, who's answering phones right now, said, oh, the worst song ever. I can't stand it. I heard it so much when I was working last summer, and it, I cringe every time I hear it, is this one, a song that I love. A buttercup, that can't be an irritating song.
Well, again, I mean, you revealed the context, and I think that's always a big part of it, that whenever you're working a job or you're otherwise kind of stuck listening to the radio all the time, and there's a particular song that pops up, then that becomes annoying. I know I don't know if Christina's workplace was like this, but there was a summer where I worked someplace that had a service. It was like hipper music. It was actual pop songs, but they just sort of got filtered in. You know, there were maybe a few choices, maybe three or four. And I thought, boy, it would be a great job to work for this company that essentially makes mixtapes for people's workplace. But yeah, I mean, the songs, there are certain songs I hear on the radio, and I'm instantly back 20 years to that summer, and I can remember like sweeping up and working in the warehouse and waiting on customers, and that song is constantly in the background of those things.
Well, we'll take more calls from you, I hope, and emails of the most irritating songs you've ever heard. 1-800-642-1234, in Madison 263-1890, or talk at WPR.org. You're listening to the Ideas Network.
Baby, I'm gonna want you. Baby, I'm gonna need you. You're the only one I care enough to hurt about.
Who can forget that classic by Bread? Not John Pollock, our guest this hour, who nominates that as one of his most annoying songs ever. How come?
Well, pretty much anything by Bread is going to be in there. It's just, I don't know, it's really maudlin. It's really kind of, you know, David Gates, the singer of the band, I don't know who gave him the idea he should like lead a band. He just sends such a wimpy kind of song. I don't know. It was the first thing that popped into my head when your producers contacted me and asked me to be on the show and said, oh, by the way, what are yours? I didn't have much time to write the email, and so I was just kind of shooting stuff off.
Anything by Bread, you said.
Anything by Bread.
My husband, who worked as a DJ for quite some time, when I asked him, he just started writing down just like a dozen songs that he remembered playing, I think, when he was a DJ. And this might not be his most irritating song, but it made his list. Debbie Boone, You Light Up My Life. Rob Starbuck says that that's one of the most irritating songs ever. What about you? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send us an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking with John Pollock this hour, history instructor at Madison Area Technical College, and our pop culture expert. We talk to him just about once a month, it seems, about something interesting in our pop culture world. What's interesting today is that there are a couple of different lists in the news. Rolling Stone has issued yet another list of the most annoying songs ever. They have about 20 of them on their list. And also a market research company in Great Britain had an online poll and issued its top 10 most irritating songs ever. There are some songs that are on both lists, and we've been playing some of them and asking you what you think are the most irritating songs ever. Here's the number one most irritating song ever, according to Rolling Stone.
What you gonna do with all that junk inside your trunk?
I'ma get you drunk, get you love drunk off my hump, my hump, my hump, my hump, my hump, my hump.
I had to wonder if I should use our profanity button during that. It's not exactly profanity, but that is My Humps by the Black Eyed Peas. It's annoying, I guess, but it hasn't been around that much.
Yeah, well, not lately. I mean, and there also, I think, demographics come in. I mean, if you listen to the stations in this area or in any city that that play to like a teenage, younger teenage audience, then that song was in pretty heavy rotation. And it gets pretty annoying.
Yeah, let's take some calls from callers. Let's go to Tim in Evansville. Hi, Tim, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Joy. Totally enjoying the program today. Give me all your number one bad songs that you've played this morning, and they don't even compare to Bob Dylan, and You Gotta Serve Somebody. And I think the close second for me would be Barbie Girl, and I'll take my comments off the air. Thank you.
All right. What are your comments to that, John?
Well, and with Barbie Girl, Rolling Stone agrees and puts that one at number 11. And yeah, that Bob Dylan song, I remember that song came out like in the late 70s when I was first really listening to music and sort of tracking what I was hearing from time to time. And I remember hearing it and thinking, this is a lousy song and everybody's making all this noise about what a great singer Bob Dylan is. And it turns out it's kind of a career trough for him. I think a lot of people would agree. But yeah, that song seems to go on forever. And you know, Dylan's kind of croaking his way through that one. I mean, he's got that really individual style of singing, and sometimes it works really great, and sometimes it doesn't work so well. And I think the caller really nailed it on that one.
Yeah, we did get an email from Reggie in Kenosha also nominating and wondering if Barbie Girl was on the list. And what number was it again?
It was number 11 on Rolling Stones and didn't make the British one. And it's interesting because I think they were like a Swedish act or something. I think they were from there's like a whole genre of this European pop music that comes from countries all over the continent that has that really, it's like designed to be annoying. It's these kind of synthesized and enhanced voices, and the lyrics are kind of nonsensical, and there aren't very many of them, so they're chanted over and over again. Aqua is definitely a song in that field.
Next is Patrick in Oconomowoc. Hi, Patrick.
What a fun topic, but there's so many horrible songs, I don't know how you can pick 100. The one that comes to mind that's just appalling from the 70s is, I think it's Jimmy Webb, Someone Left the Cake Out in the Rain.
Hold on, Patrick, let's see if it's this one.
Someone left the cake out in the rain. I don't think that I can take it, cause it took so long to bake it, and I'll never have that recipe again.
I take it you think those lyrics
I'm
are...
I'm driving here. Be careful.
John, you agree that's kind of goofy?
Yeah, I'd say it. I mean, I think that song is so far over the top that it's almost beyond annoying. I mean, it's like a train wreck of a song. You can't, you know, you can't sort of get it out of your head and so forth.
That's not on either of the lists, though.
No, and again, that's, I think that's one of the problems with the list is that their definition of ever goes, you know,
just 20 years,
yeah,
or something.
At most 20 years. But no, it's certainly a very odd song. And when that version, and then I remember Donna Summer covered it in the 1970s.
Yeah, the disco. Right?
Yeah, you couldn't get away from that song. It was everywhere and got pretty annoying.
That just reminded. Thank you very much. That reminded me of "Love to Love You, Baby." Wasn't that Donna Summer?
Yeah.
Sarah in Oshkosh. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. You guys are just cracking me up. I think my most annoying song was called "The Safety Dance."
You know what? I think I have a clip of that, but I can't find it right now. Remind me a little bit. What is it about?
It's a band called Men Without Hats.
Out of even the name is annoying. They were terrible.
I would question that.
Why? Why you like that one?
That band. I had a Men Without Hats poster in my bedroom when I was a teenager. I thought they were great. They had this. They were, you know, kind of video pioneers. And
that song was terrible. It always gets stuck in my head. That's the worst part about it.
Yeah, what is that? That's called a brainworm or something like that, when a song gets stuck in your head?
Yeah, earworm.
Every time I hear it, it'll be in my head for a couple of days. You know, I hate it.
I found it, Sarah. Let's listen to it for a second.
We can dance. We can dance. Everybody look at your hands. We can dance. We can dance. Everybody's taking the chance.
I'll be thinking about that for 2 days now.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
So that was a little bit, a little bit distorted sounding.
It was just, that was like 1983 or 84, I think it came out. And I liked it a lot because it was, where I was growing up, everything, there was, Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA record was on the charts all the time. And REO Speedwagon was out there, and Night Ranger, and these kind of big arena rock bands. And Men Without Hats just had a really different song. The singer, Ivan Doroshuk, don't know how I remember that, out of nowhere. He's got this really low voice, much lower than a lot of the singers, a lot of the big singers of the time, kind of sang up in the falsetto range. It's like in a minor key and not a major one. It was always just such a different song that I kind of liked it. But yeah, and you know, I it's kind of a unique opinion, I guess.
I think we can all agree that this one belongs near the top of any list of the most irritating songs. But you kind of shook your head a little bit. You don't think
Yeah, well, Jen. I mean, I would agree with you. But there's the last couple of years for my son's Little League team, they have the Little League that my son's in has the first game. They get they rent a PA system so that the kids can hear their names announced over the PA.
Oh.
And I decided to kick it up a notch. And so for the last couple of years, the kids all give me a song. And I make a CD, and then that way I don't just announce their name when they come up to bat, but I also play this little clip of one of their favorite songs. And when I hear that song, I think of one of the kids on my son's team who that's what he chose. That's what he wanted to hear when he came up to bat to get fired up. So I think it's that. And when I played the mix CD in the car, my kids both love that one, and they're singing it. So it's another demographics thing. I think if you're a kid, then it's kind of a cool song. And if you're an adult, maybe it's otherwise.
That was Who Let the Dogs Out, Baha Men. And it was number 3, the third most annoying song ever, according to the Rolling Stone list. This isn't on either of the lists, but I've been hearing it in the news over the past week only. It's because the Spice Girls are going to, I guess, reunite. And boy, this is irritating.
Yo!
I guess you can tap your toe to it, but why do you think I find that so irritating?
That one, I wasn't counting the number of words, but it's about 6-7 words, and it's just kind of repeated endlessly back and forth, sort of chanted back and forth. That gets pretty annoying pretty quickly, just to have, and I think that's a feature of some of the songs on the list, is that they have the James Blunt one, I know is definitely there, and others where they have a really repetitive chorus. And the chorus isn't real complex, and it's just a few words, and it's like this chant over and over again can get pretty irritating.
We're talking about the most annoying songs or most irritating songs ever. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go by Wham, the 20 the number 20 on the list from Rolling Stones, naming its 20 most annoying songs ever. What about you? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine talking with John Pollock, history instructor at the Madison Area Technical College and our go-to guest when there's something fun going on in pop culture. And our next caller, John, is Carla in Mosinee. Hi, Carla.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have two, and I don't know if they were mentioned because I tuned in halfway through, but the one is Electric Avenue, and I believe it's by Eddie Grant. I despise that song with a passion.
How come?
Well, I think it's because when I was in high school, and I am dating myself, my Phi Ed teacher decided that when we were tested on how many laps we could run in a gym period time, that she would play Electric Avenue over and over and over
as
again.
as a punishment.
I think so. I think it was to torture us to either run faster or drop dead right on the track. I really don't know.
I think though that you're going to get you.
Well, I was thinking about it, and yeah, I there's a lot of other stuff that Eddie Grant's done that I like a lot, that I really kind of like, and yeah, that song was. I mean, I we're probably like the same age because I remember that song being on the radio constantly.
Right.
But I was also thinking about it. I was sort of, I don't know if the microphone picked up. I was sort of snapping my fingers here. It's kind of a slow song. I mean, it seems like if you were. I mean, maybe a mile is long enough that your gym teacher wanted you to, you know, sort of have a good consistent pace so that you don't tire out too soon. But I thought, if I were trying to motivate people to run faster, I think I would have picked something else.
I think she may have been trying to be hip. I'm not real certain about it.
It's got that really there's that bass on there, makes it really sluggish sounding.
Exactly. You know,
you also have another one I see here, Carla, that it's a favorite in my aqua aerobics class.
Well, let me tell you, if I have to spell that out at one more wedding dance, YMCA by the Village people. everybody has to drag you out to the dance floor with that song, and it's just, I know it's huge pop culture. Village people are great. Yeah. But no, I just don't want to hear that song anymore.
you're right. It is one that's constantly at weddings, and a lot of people. I kind of agree with you about it. It kind of drives me nuts when it comes on. The thing that I always think of, and when you were talking about your high school story, when the Village people were really big in the late 70s, I remember I was in a bowling league. I was growing up in Cleveland, Ohio, where as I like to say, everybody bowls. And so I was in this bowling league with other 10-year-olds, and we'd always hear the Village people on the way to bowling. And we had no idea what the songs were about. So all these songs that are really, you know, pretty risque in some ways and so forth, I just associate with being in the back of the Schenkel station wagon and going to bowling, and we had no idea what we were singing about. Our parents were probably cracking up. It's just, you know, five guys on a bowling team, and we're singing along with the Village people. It would have been hilarious.
Carla, thanks for the memories. Sherry in Sturgeon Bay is next. Hi, Sherry.
Hello.
Hello, what do you think?
The song I'd like to nominate is Hey Jude. It's impossible to dance to, and I'm dating myself also. That was popular when I was in high school. The other one is Be Happy.
By that one, Don't Worry, Be Happy?
Yeah, Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Yeah, by, I don't know who that's by.
But it's by Bobby McFerrin.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That one.
Hey Jude, yeah, that's a classic.
Well, I got to give the caller points for this one because I always kind of enjoy, like, sticking it to the Beatles now and then. I mean, everyone, they're revered in this great band, and especially, and one of the people I put on my list is Paul McCartney in particular.
And the Wings stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Especially once he left the Beatles. It's just, you know, it's always a genius lyricist. And then
a silly love song.
Yeah, I just like to, you know, Paul McCartney, I like to just sort of, sometimes if I can find an appropriate quote, like open up a lecture with this and read it like really ponderously as though I'm reading Yeats or some Shakespeare or something like that, and it's McCartney and preposterous. But yeah, Hey Jude is played a whole lot, and you're right, it's slow and yet undanceable, which is pretty frustrating. And yeah, Don't Worry, Be Happy in 1988, that was all over the airwaves when that came out.
Yeah.
And kind of, I mean, Bobby McFerrin's career kind of was really big, and then after that everyone's like, it's the Don't Worry, Be Happy guy, forget it. And I kind of haven't heard from him much.
Let's thanks, Sherry. Scott in Menasha, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
One of my annoying songs is Devo's Whip It.
Oh, that them's fighting words with John Pollock, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Okay. So, Whip It. I mean, I was just Devo were my favorite band of all time. I was just crazy about those guys. And yeah, I mean, Whip It was on the airwaves a lot. But
I think it was
their only hit. It was the it's as close as they got to having a hit. And
I wish I had an example of that.
Probably objectively, if we listened to it, we'd say, yeah, it is kind of annoying, it meets a lot of our criteria for an annoying song. It's real repetitive, and yet kind of what they're singing about is kind of obscure at the same time, which is kind of annoying. I'm so attached to that band that it was just I just sort of like jolt. It was like a jolt when you said it was the most annoying song. But yeah, I can see where it would be.
Scott, hold on. Tell me what you think of this song. We're having a debate over whether this is one of the most annoying songs ever or not. It's not on either of the lists, but there's a debate going on at Wisconsin Public Radio whether this is annoying.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. In the
I don't think that's annoying. Do you, Scott?
After the second time, it would be.
Thanks very much, John. Do you think that's annoying?
I don't know. I mean, I've that's another song I have kind of a soft spot for, just because it's on the one hand, it sounds like it's this kind of a cappella thing, and it's actually extremely easy to sing, so you can sort of do it, and everybody kind of knows it, so I kind of like it in that way. But yeah, it would be more than a couple times through, it would get sort of annoying.
And you haven't heard this one in a very, very long time, I'm sure. It didn't make either of the lists, but I think it should have.
Floating like the heavens above, looks like muskrat love.
Gotta wait for the muskrats. There they are. I think that's supposed to be the muskrats.
Yeah, it is.
Captain and Tennille. Am I alone in thinking that's irritating?
No, it's pretty annoying. It was just the other night at dinner, actually. We were kind of sitting around and just out at, maybe it was what the kids were eating or something, and I just said, nibbling on bacon, chewing on cheese. And I tried to see if my wife could figure out what song that was from. And she said, wait a minute, it's really familiar. What is it? And then we realized it was Muskrat Love. And then we'd explain the concept. Then we'd explain the song to our kids. They're just like, what? Muskrat Love? What does that mean? And said, oh, it was this band, and they had a TV show, and he never said anything, and it was...
That's right, he didn't.
Never talked. So, but a pretty annoying song, and especially the Muskrats. It seemed like such a great effect in 1974.
Yeah, right.
Now it's just, what is that?
Annie in New London, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I think Stairway to Heaven is very annoying, and the only time I kind of liked it is when Bill Murray parodied it on Saturday Night Live. And
I wish I would have saw that.
And then the other thing, and I don't know if it qualifies as a song, but when you were talking about weddings, whoever invented that chicken dance one should be shot.
Oh, you know what? Yeah. Talk a little bit about Stairway to Heaven while I find the chicken dance. John.
Stairway to Heaven is, I was thinking of that one especially, where context is really important. I mean, the original, of course, seems to go on forever, and so that can be kind of annoying. What I think of, though, is that when I was a sophomore in college, there was a guy who lived in my dorm hall who was an aspiring guitarist, and that was one of the songs he would play in the bathroom because it had a good echo. It's like a big dorm bathroom, and so he echoed like crazy. And so it's anytime you walk by there, the song is echoing out of there, and he couldn't play very well. And so for me, that kind of threw me off the song. But the other one, did you get that?
Yeah, I found it. In fact, I was surprised. This was on the list from the UK website. It was the fifth most irritating song ever, according to this online poll. But the song is called The Birdie Song by The Tweets, but it's the chicken song. So the Brits don't like that.
Well, that and that version is, even for the chicken dance, is especially cutesy with that little slide whistle effect in there. I remember reading an article someplace about the whole ethnomusicology of the chicken dance, that it's got Spanish roots, I think, and someone had sort of traced how it came here and so forth, and they're trying to figure out why in Wisconsin especially is it such a big tune. But yeah, I have to admit, I'm not that fond of it either. It's another song that comes up at weddings. It's like, oh, of course.
We only have a minute to go here, so I'm just going to whip through a couple. We got an email from Tim in Winter who says, Billy, Don't Be a Hero by Paper Lace needs to be on there. Yes,
yeah.
I agree, Tim. We both do. An email from Jill in Madison who says, what's up with Buttercup? It must have had a resurgence recently. I had a van full of 15-year-old boys singing it on a road trip to Milwaukee. I hadn't heard that song in a very long time. So what do you think? A resurgence for Build Me Up Buttercup?
Yeah, it must have shown up in a movie or something. I can't think offhand what it would have been. But,
yeah. Well, I think we're going to leave people with one of my favorite oldies, and John Pollock, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
John Pollock is a history instructor at the Madison Area Technical College.
But I love you still. I need you. I need you. More than anyone, darling. You know that I am from the start. So build me up, buttercup. Don't break my heart.
You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.